Fertility issues are quite common for many Australians. About one in six couples are having difficulty conceiving a baby, and around 4% of babies are born through assisted reproductive technology. Last month, the WA government launched an independent review of the legislation regarding assisted reproductive technology and surrogacy. The review explores a number of ethical issues, including the genetic testing of embryos and the use of eggs and sperm if couples are to split up or if one partner dies. Right now, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Maureen Harris to talk a little bit more. Dr. Harris, can you let us know what the current legislation around reproductive technology and surrogacy is?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for inviting me to speak. Look, the current regulations around assisted reproductive technology are mainly regulated by the Human Reproductive Technology Act and the Surrogacy Act. So these acts enable people to access surrogacy and also procedures such as IVF, but also people can access artificial insemination, and that's covered by the Artificial Insemination Act. So these set up the practices, the procedures, and who can perform these procedures so that it's done in a safe way and people are fully informed about the requirements.
Yeah, sure. So what is and isn't possible at the moment? So, like, to put it into perspective, can a single person access IVF, or can gay couples use surrogacy?
Yeah, the legislation is based on medical eligibility. So a single fertile woman, for example, could access artificial insemination. But if she's fertile, she can't access IVF. You have to have a medical reason to access IVF. So if someone was unable to conceive with artificial insemination or naturally, then regardless of whether they're single or married, they can have access to IVF. Surrogacy, same situation. You have to be eligible, and you could be a single woman. However, a single man or a same-sex male couple could not get access to surrogacy at the moment because it's for medical reasons. So obviously, the legislation would need to be changed in order to accommodate that.
So when talking about sperm donors, they obviously play or can play quite a large role in this. Can they remain anonymous?
No, the laws across Australia have changed, and they changed probably 2004 in some states a bit earlier. And that meant that sperm donors must be identifiable. Now, in Western Australia, that means that a person who is donor conceived after 2004, when the legislation changed, can, at the age of 16, request identifying information about their donor. And the donors at that time were all informed of this, and if they didn't consent to that understanding, that agreement, then their sperm couldn't be used.
Okay, so why is this review happening?
Well, the review is happening because it's considered outdated in parts. There's been many changes over the years, scientific developments, community attitudes have changed, and what we need to do is to modernise and update and make it in step with other states, and so that people can have access to what they require, what they need, without feeling that they need to go elsewhere for their treatments.
Okay, sure. So we're hoping that this means that for the future, for people who are thinking about or need reproductive technology, it's going to be a little bit more open and be able for more people to access it. Is that correct?
Well, look, I can't preempt what's going to happen and what the outcome of the review will be. That very much depends on the reviewer. But I would hope to see that we are on an equal footing with other states as well. And because people move around so much, and particularly with surrogacy, if you look across Australia, everybody has slightly different legislation. And if you have a sister in another state who wants to be a surrogate for you, then the whole thing becomes very complicated trying to figure out what state you're going to comply with legislation and how it's actually going to work. And I know that people find that very confusing.
Yeah, sure. It's the old WA is a bit behind the rest of Australia kind of ball.
I suppose that's one way that you could look at it.
So the review has been asking for public comment and it's largely focused on public comment. So how can people have their say?
Well, we've been calling for submissions and that close of submission is tomorrow at 5 o'clock. However, there are a number of community consultations that are being held. And if you look on the website for the review, and that's at health.wa.gov.au/review, then on there you'll find all the details about the community consultation. And they're taking place on the 13th of April, 14th of April and 16th of April. And Associate Professor Sonia Allen, who's the independent reviewer, will be there to meet with consumers, donors, donor-conceived people and any other interested member of the public. And also just to say, if you can't make any of these consultation sessions, then you can call me, Dr. Maureen Harris, on 9222 4334, and I'll be able to put you in touch so that you can have a private conversation with Associate Professor Allen.
Well, Dr. Maureen Harris, thank you so much for being on the MAG with us today and giving us a little bit of an insight into the legislation around fertility and reproductive technology in Australia.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.